We pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, through Christ our Redeemer. Amen. It's natural to think big, to dream optimistically, even unrealistically, about a future profession. Becoming a professional athlete or famous musician, maybe CEO of a major corporation. What about political office? Would you like to be mayor of your hometown or governor of your state? Personally, for me, that sounds like a lot of work. Getting elected, and there's always a downside when politics are involved. That said, what if through no choice or involvement of your own, you became king, ruling everything that matters during your lifetime and into eternity? It's not a pipe dream. It's not fantasy. It's reality, assured to us in the prophecy of Revelation 20. Our text today comes from verses 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The images of Revelation, including chapter 20, are symbolic, and so are the numbers used. 1,000 years is not referring to a literal millennium of 1,000 years in time. Think of it symbolically as referring to a very long period of time from our point of view, but also a complete amount of time from God's point of view. It's the entire New Testament era, stretching from the first coming of Christ all the way to his return on Judgment Day, whenever that is, however long that happens to be. Now, for you personally as believers, it's right now. Right now, as believers in Christ, we are said to be ruling with him in a spiritual way, with another role involved. It's mentioned in verse 6. You're also priests of God. King and priest together, combined, like you hear in this passage from 1 Peter 2, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now we should ask, what is priesthood going to be like in New Testament terms? It can't be animal sacrifices in a temple anymore. It's a concept, though, where you, the believer, are in a position between God and the other person. You act as priest on behalf of that person, and it can go in two directions. One way is for you to think about what that person needs and pray to God. That's the work of a priest, and God hears the prayer. Viewed from the other direction, think of what the Old Testament priest did to end the worship. He spoke the benediction. You would do a similar thing, bringing God's blessing to other people in a variety of ways, such as teaching God's word to children, sharing the gospel with an unchurched friend, helping a fellow Christian in distress with a comforting passage from Scripture, and through all of it, God is working his blessing through you to them. Back to verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All people are in the same boat, believers included. They are subject to the first death implied, probably referring to unbelief. We start out spiritually dead, but thanks to God-given faith, we are not subject to the second death, which you can think of as eternal suffering in hell. That's because of the, stay with me here, the first resurrection, which is not happening on Judgment Day. The first resurrection happens at your conversion. You're not dead anymore. God brings you to life by giving you your faith, and that counts as a resurrection that he performs. From that point on, you live with God and you rule with Christ. This ruling with Christ on the part of believers can be tied to the word judgment in verse 4. Right now, we rule with Christ on earth, representing him, extending his judgment through his word. Think law and gospel. In proclaiming the law, we extend God's judgment of guilty on all sins and all sinners, ourselves included. In proclaiming the gospel, we extend God's judgment of not guilty. The great divine verdict, which has the forgiveness of sins wrapped up into it, which Christ has obtained for all people. With the finality of Judgment Day in mind, there is no higher authority on earth, no greater outcome. As the priests and kings of God, we're in a position to make a difference for people on the last day. You can't say that about the medical world or the criminal justice system or other forms of government. Only the forgiveness of sins brought to people, producing faith in their hearts, can get them out of that second death of hell. Thinking about it that way, we can land on this fact. There is no higher aspiration, no greater outcome that we could be a part of, and God has graced us with that. So, as you contemplate your future, what you might do for a living someday, always keep your eye on the double role that you already have. What a privilege that by God's grace, you and I are in the priesthood of God, co-ruling with Christ in this life and the next. In Jesus' saving name, let's embrace that. Amen. We'll close this morning with hymn 244, stanzas 2 and 3. Stanzas 2 and 3, hymn 244.